You're listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com. This episode of the Igniting Soul Show is part of our Ignited Entrepreneur series, where we get to talk with business professionals around the world who are on fire in their entrepreneurial journey. I'm your host, Mike Domini, and joining me today is Manny Lamachani of LOA Orthodontics. We have an orthodontist in the house. Dr. Manny is here. Excited to have this conversation about you, Dr. Manny, and your entrepreneurial journey as an orthodontist. Welcome to the show. So glad you're here.
Oh, thank you very much, Mike. I'm really glad to be here.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you know, I've been looking forward to this one. I don't know what it is, but I know I have a few orthodontist friends, and they're always very smiley, happy people. Maybe that sounds trite. I don't know. Maybe that's an overgeneralization, but it's always a pleasant conversation. So I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Mike, because I once spoke with an IT guy who just goes around to different small businesses really and sets up their IT systems, and he just kind of broke up script one day and said to me, "Hey, Dr. Manny, I don't know why it is, but I've done a number of orthodontic offices, and I've also done dental and other medical professionals, but every time I walk into an orthodontic office, everybody is happy and smiling and laughing. And why is that?" And I hadn't heard that before, from an independent person outside of the profession, but basically I said to him, "I don't know, maybe it's because our business is creating smiles and helping people to smile more often. I guess, you know, what could be happier than that?"
I mean, I would hope that's the case. That's so funny to hear that is there's a trend there. I love it. That's so good. So you are an entrepreneur, and I think for a lot of people, not necessarily recognizing people in your position as entrepreneurs, but there are a lot of medical professionals who own businesses and are considered entrepreneurs. When did you first consider yourself an entrepreneur in this process?
Yeah. So, I think I had two stages of that. So I think, when I was, in fifth grade, however old you are, and 10 or 11, I was living in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, which is where I grew up and spent most of my life, I wanted to earn my own money. And, I was only 10. So I didn't really know what that meant, but it seemed like the only job that I could secure was a paper route. So, I knew that there were three main newspapers in Toronto, the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, and the Toronto Sun. And the Toronto Sun was kind of heavy, it was mainly a Sunday paper. The Globe and Mail was a business paper, kind of like the Wall Street Journal of Canada, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that one had to be delivered at 6 a.m. But the Toronto Star was delivered sort of at 4 p.m. So it was kind of after school, not super heavy. But I knew most people read the Star. And so I was like, okay, I want to get a paper route, the Toronto Star. And my parents were really kind of not super, super involved. I mean, good parents, but more of a laissez-faire parenting style, I'd say. And they were like, okay, if that's what you want to do. So I started that paper route, and I had 30 or 35 houses I had to deliver to. And we had a contest, and the contest was to win some Toronto Blue Jay tickets. Mm-hmm. And you had to sign up new subscribers to the route. And so that was sort of my first foray into sales. And so I just going door to door, signing people up, and lo and behold, I ended up winning, the contest, and, got some Blue Jay tickets. Then I got really excited. So then I said, I want to get the, Sunday Toronto Sun route. And so I secured that route, and then I ended up securing the Globe and Mail route. And that really became the end of my paper delivering career, because Canadian winters are harsh, as you know. Ooh, and my poor dad was waking up, with me before work at 5 a.m. and taking me around in his car to deliver this paper because, there were blizzards and all kinds of crazy stuff. But it really sort of, lit a fire in me that, you know, wow, if you can sell stuff, you can really expand beyond what you would normally get paid if you just do your job. So I think if I then fast forward, and I had a whole number of different jobs, but over time I worked in factories, assembly lines, restaurants, as a line cook, as a busboy, as a dishwasher. Then I started making eyeglasses, you know, for Lens Crafters. I don't know if you remember that company, Mike.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Custom crafted eyeglasses in about 1 hour. Right. Then I was selling eyeglasses and, you know, all of that, you know, before, as a blackjack dealer at one point, I mean, all that before I went to dental school, made me realize that really, you know, working for somebody else, I mean, it's fine. Most people do it. I was okay with it. But I spent most of my work days daydreaming about how things could be better. And I realized that I really didn't have much motivation to do that, to further somebody else's dreams. You know, that really took a lot of jobs and vocations out of play for me once I realized that. And so I gravitated to dentistry once I understood that, you know, being a medical doctor was exciting and enticing, but it meant for the most part, you were working for somebody else. You were in a healthcare system or working in a hospital. You had people to answer to and bosses and medical doctors, as you mentioned, you know, some of them do own private practices, but a lot of them are now integrated as part of larger corporations and, you know, health service organizations. And dentists as a group seem to me to be very entrepreneurial. Most of them own practices. And some of them were large, some of them were small. And I really like the possibilities that you could really choose your entrepreneurial pathway and go.
I love it. What a great story with a classic start on the paper route, right? That's the classic start and,
that's right.
And recognize the difference between delivering the papers and then selling the papers and really getting a taste of that. Okay. All right. If I can get into sales, then sell something, that's even better. And now you're into creating the product now for people in the first place. So that's, I love that story of the humble beginnings and then just the story of trying all these different things, recognizing that, oh man, like you can spend time building someone else's dream or you can spend time building your own. It's really one or the other.
Yeah, I think so.
So is there ever a time in this time that you felt like quitting, that maybe, you know what, I got in over my head, this is not what I expected it to be, to run my own practice? I know that right now we have an audience of authors and coaches, entrepreneurs, speakers, and all of them entrepreneurs, sure, in one way or another, and I know that I think especially early on you start to you question yourself. And I sometimes that never leaves. What's been your experience in terms of feeling like maybe being overwhelmed and wanting to find a way out?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, you'd have to know about me that it's hard for me to admit that I'm over my head, overwhelmed, or that I would even contemplate quitting. So, you know, I would imagine that a lot of people who know me would, you know, might even be a little bit surprised, you know, that I've had those feelings, but I'm, you know, we're all human and everybody has, I'm sure.
Sure.
So for me too, you know, two times stand out. One was actually, you know, my probably 3 months in a dental school. I was at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and I was living in a dental fraternity house, you know, sort of with a roommate. And, you know, I mean, dental school is, you know, as you can imagine, pretty busy. Classes like 30, 40 hours a week, labs and learning all kinds of new stuff in the first year. And one day I was up studying for an exam. It was probably close to midnight. And my roommate had already, you know, sort of gone to sleep. And I don't know, got overwhelmed. And I went into my suit. I went into my closet. I grabbed my suitcase. I started filling it up with clothes. And I really started packing up, and I was just going to drive the 5 hours back to Toronto and say, screw this, I'm done. You know, this was a crazy thought. And at the time, and for years, Mike, I imagined that it was the pressure of, you know, a large tuition bill and having, you know, I knew I wanted to specialize in dentistry. So, you know, I was gunning for maybe the top five of the class, and there were, you know, 100-something smart people in the class. And I think, you know, I just thought that it was just the pressure of the whole thing that, you know, that it wasn't for me. But later I came to realize this about myself, that I don't think it was really that. I think it was the feeling of being boxed into dentistry. I think it was a thought that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be fixing people's teeth for the rest of my life. You know, it feels kind of stifling. And, you know, it took me a while to settle on a career. And I think, you know, I think that moment of sort of being there and feeling a little boxed in, you know, I mean, fortunately for me, I didn't, I ended up unpacking the suitcase the next day and saying, okay, I've come too far to just like on a whim sort of quit this thing. So that was the first time I ever felt like that. The second time was, you know, fast forwarding to when, you know, I had already specialized as an orthodontist. I was living in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I currently live. And, you know, I had bought into one practice, which was a big group practice. We had several locations. And then I bought a second practice, you know, sort of half an hour away with a couple of locations. And, you know, I was seeing patients, you know, at the Lancaster Cleft Palate Clinic as well. So I was running around to all these different locations and running, you know, multiple businesses. And Sarah, my wife, and I had our third child. And so we had three kids under the age of four. And I really felt like I was going insane. Like, I thought, you know, I mean, I would wake up with a feeling of panic, and I thought I was, you know, I didn't know what was happening. I never experienced anything like it before. I felt out of control. And I thought, oh my gosh, I just gotta, you know, sell everything and get out, because I don't know if I can handle it. And you know, that was before I became involved with Dan Sullivan and Coach, and, you know, started to learn concepts like who, not how, that became really powerful guiding principles to, you know, help me to understand that I can still have the very same ambitions. I can even expand my ambitions without eating up all of my time and energy and becoming sort of a useless individual at home, to my family, and really to myself.
So was there a breakthrough moment or something that happened or something that somebody said that really brought you some clarity to kind of break through and take your business or even take your personal life to a new level?
You know, it probably wasn't, so much like the, you know, Hollywood moment where, you know, one thing happens and all of a sudden the skies open up and, you know, an eagle flies overhead.
And oh, there's no eagle changes in your story. Oh, man.
You know, I think, you know, it was a sequence of things. I mean, I think, you know, I had the moment of panic. You know, to be quite honest, I mean, I sought help. I went to a therapist and I said, hey, I don't know what's happening. Like, I feel like I'm going crazy. Maybe there's something wrong with me. And they started wondering if I had adult ADD and had me read a bunch of books and self-help books and stuff. And I had a few sessions and really, you know, sort of at the end of it, the therapist looked at me and, you know, she was very intelligent and but maybe a little condescending, but it was fine. But she said, oh, well, I guess poor old Dr. Manny can't have it all, can he? You know, he can't have a million businesses and, you know, raise a family and think that you're going to be, you know, well balanced and happy without putting a little work into it. So I took that grain of truth, Mike, and, you know, I ended up selling one of the businesses, and it was fine because, you know, with the proceeds, I was able to knock off all of our student loans, which were considerable. I mean, you know, close to $1 million. You know, put some money away. I mean, it wasn't all bad. But there was something nagging inside of me, Mike, that said, you know, this was kind of wrong in a sense, because this was a profitable business. You know, I put 6-7 years into it. There was no reason to sell it. because I got overwhelmed. But I did get overwhelmed, and I have to understand that. And, you know, eventually it led me to go to Toronto and take a strategic coach, really with no idea what where that would lead. But, you know, I had a conversation with a pharmacist from Hawaii named Derek. And, you know, he was taking coach for the first time, and so was I. And we had a breakout session where Dan said, just go get to know each other. And, you know, Derek basically, you know, looked at me, and he was a very humble guy, very calm guy. And he said, yeah, you know, I graduated from pharmacy school, and I've never written a script. And I said, well, how does that work? And he said, well, I always knew I wanted to run businesses, and I knew that pharmacists like CVS and Walgreens were kind of terrible in the sense that, you know, really they lead you in there and they make you wait 45 minutes for your prescription so you can buy laundry detergent and candy and, you know, your kids some toys and all kinds of crap. And so I created a pharmacy called 5-Minute RX, and all we do is have a very small footprint, and we guarantee you'll get your script in 5 minutes. And if you don't get it, then we send you home and we'll deliver it to your house for free.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, that's powerful. He said, yeah, I mean, it was a good concept. It grew from zero to 27 million in a couple of years. And I was like, oh my gosh.
It did all right. You know, so I said, little business. You know,
what was that like? And he said, well, one problem was we had a hard time hiring people. And I said, so what'd you do? He goes, well, he started laughing. He said, I'm now the dean of a small school where we train pharmacy technicians, and then we started training dental assistants and medical technicians. And I thought to myself, wow, I mean, you know, I'm very careful to not, you know, look at one small aspect of somebody and say that I need to be more like him or her, because I know that there's, you know, you have to take the whole package. You can't just take, you know, Bono and say, oh, I want to be Bono because, you know, he makes a ton of money and he's the lead singer of a great band. You got to take the whole thing. I mean, whether it comes with childhood trauma or invasion of privacy or all the other stuff. So I looked at that aspect, though, of Derek, and I thought, wow, this guy's not a pharmacist. He's an entrepreneur. And I'm really attracted to that because I am an orthodontist, but I don't really fully identify as that. I really identify more as an entrepreneur. And I thought, well, I think I have a lot to learn in terms of how to not scale down my dreams just because I haven't figured out how to handle it yet. So that was
scale down your dreams just because you haven't figured out how to handle it yet. That's a good soundbite there. That's going to preach.
Yeah. So that was kind of a break. That first coach class was a breakthrough moment because I met 50 or 60 other entrepreneurs. Who in many ways, you know, we were all just like each other, but everybody had a different size business and everybody was in a different industry and everybody, you know, brought some unique ability to the table. And here was Dan, was kind of like the, you know, composer, standing at the podium, and he was, and he was really just sort of sifting out, you know, what you needed to sort of balance your orchestra. And it was great to listen to and be part of.
I can tell one theme that seems to be true of your story here is you've always reached out for support, whether it was from a therapist earlier on where it's like, I got to make sense of this. I just feel like a mess. I don't know, you know, things, I feel like I'm dropping things. Or more recently, joining a program like Strategic Coach, where you have a network of people who are in the same stage of life as you, in different aspects. And that has really brought a lot of clarity and success for you to surround yourself with people, and realizing that you know your limits, and it's not just, you know, trying to plow through everything on your own, but recognizing the input from all the other people can really help shape you and push you to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly have been many moments of just trying to plow through. But I think, I think I would probably say that, when I reach that moment of frustration that, it doesn't feel like I can do this, or I know I can do this, but it's not working out. I don't know what's happening. Then I do tend to sort of, you know, pick my head up and look around and say, all right, who can help me? Because I still want to get there.
I love the entrepreneurial mindset of so many guests of this podcast series here, and really so many unique backgrounds and focuses. But I was struck when you mentioned that, yes, you are an orthodontist, or, you know, like your friend who is a pharmacist technically, but you view yourself as an entrepreneur. You don't identify fully with just that career, that trade, but you see yourself as a different mindset that is kind of overarching and is able to try things and take risks that you wouldn't normally be able to if you're just that one trade.
Right. And, you know, hey, certainly nothing wrong with the person who picks a vocation and sticks to it. I mean, there's something to be admired. And you know, at times, you know, I think I'm almost envious of somebody who, you know, keeps it simple, you know, in that respect. But that's not me. And, you know, the couple of times that I've tried to, you know, be that way, that just hasn't worked out. It doesn't feel right. I feel caged in, boxed in, you know, and I think once I came to understand what an entrepreneur is, I think I thought, wow, you know, now I'm in a peer group and I feel at home.
I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So we, Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we love to publish books, right? We know that everybody has at least one good book in them. Do you have a book?
I don't.
If you were to write a book, based on your experience or something that's important to you, maybe it's orthodontics or entrepreneur related, maybe it's something else. What do you have one that's on your mind?
Well, you know, funny you ask that, because you know, when I was getting ready to graduate high school, you know, and picking a major in college, I was very, very torn for a long time between you know, English and creative writing, and math and science. And I probably chose math and science because I'm the firstborn, you know, male child of Asian immigrants to North America. And, you know, well, by golly, I'm going to have to become a doctor or engineer, right? But I really, really enjoy reading and writing. And, you know, I took a men's creative writing class a few years ago. And I remembered through that you know, creative writing is something that that I really enjoy. You know, I've thought about writing a book, and you know, I think you know, there's, you know, one way that would be probably, you know, sort of, you know, easy for me to go at some point would be to write to an audience of, you know, young people searching for a career direction. And, you know, I think I would talk about it in terms of, you know, building a foundation of core ethics and values, which is kind of boring, but necessary. And then talk about a controlled risk-taking where you let go of your fears and build a brand and build a team to, you know, help maximize your potential. And then finally, maintaining a sort of a balance in life, which is something us entrepreneurs can have a challenging time with. You know, I think that could be something that I might be interested in writing in the future. Or alternatively, I could simply just compile a collection of all the mistakes that I've made, because that could probably be pretty instructive too.
Oh man, there's a lot to learn there, I'm sure, from honestly, there's more to learn from the mistakes, not just yours, but people in general. And I love the heart that you have for the young people, right? Basically, it sounds like you'd want to kind of teach your younger self, right? On the paper route.
Yeah.
Teach some of those things that you wish you had known back then and with your experience now to be able to help help people start to lay that foundation for building a life and a business for themselves as they got older?
You know, Mike, you know, I think, you know, I joke about how, you know, this is a huge stereotype, and I don't know if it's more, you know, politically correct because I'm Asian myself, but to say this, but, you know, I think that whole thing of telling a kid, you know, hey, be a doctor, lawyer, an engineer, you know, sort of picking a vocation for them. You know, I don't know if that's kind of, that was never really the right thing to do for kids or young people, or whether, you know, it's gone more sort of out of vogue as the world has evolved and the technology sector has really proliferated. I do think that one thing that I don't really hear parents. So I know a lot of parents who happen to own businesses, and even when their kids go into their business or towards their business, they're teaching them the trade, and then while they're at it, they're teaching them how to run the business. And I think that's great, and I think those kids are really, you know, fortunate to have, you know, their parents as those types of career mentors. I think of all the kids who don't have parents who own businesses, which is the majority of kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I just never really, I didn't know anything about all the things that I do in my day now. There was nobody talking to me about running a business. I just think that, you know, there's a lot of skills in there, whether it's sales or marketing or branding, that would apply all over the place, would be beneficial. Even if you ultimately decide to go work for somebody else, that are really worthwhile to teach.
The entrepreneurial skill set is a valuable one, whether you start a business or not. Just the ways of thinking and the problem solving is valuable. That would be an interesting book in and of itself. Entrepreneur's Guide to Non-Entrepreneurs.
And really, there. I mean, you're right, Mike. I think mindset is huge. I mean, you can take that. It's very portable. Mindset is very portable. It goes everywhere you go.
I love it. Well, thank you for taking some time here today to share your experience and your perspective here. I like to ask this question in our final minute. It's a quick one. Okay. What's one word? What one word character trait would you say is essential for a successful entrepreneur? If we were to boil down your wisdom, mm-hmm. that you would share to someone starting out into one word, what would that essential character trait be?
Well, okay. I don't know if this qualifies as one word. It's hyphenated, but
I'll take it. Self-awareness. Self-awareness.
I think with that, you can assess, risks. You can assess personnel, you can assess systems, all in terms of how they mesh with who you are and where you need to go.
I think that checks out based on what you're saying about all the inspiration you found from other people is the more input and connection you have around you, the more you're actually able to be self-aware. It's not just about sitting in a room and figuring things out by yourself. It's about self-awareness really comes from the clarity that comes when you take action, when you step out, mm-hmm. and you become more self-aware and therefore more successful to know your own value that you offer to the world. I love sure. it. Great word, even if it's hyphenated. Perfect. Yeah. Well, Dr. Manny, I've really valued our time here today. Thank you so much for sharing with our listeners about your entrepreneurial journey. I love your energy and your wisdom here that you've shared with us.
Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate you taking the time to reach out and spend time with me.
It's a pleasure. Hey, man. Well, this has been another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneur Series. Many thanks to our special guest today, Manny Lamachani. And this is Mike Domini, and I'll see you next time. Stay ignited.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.